tackle in today's, you know, I mean, I get great enjoyment out of watching things like The Good Place and things like that, but they don't really make me chuckle. This one made me chuckle.
Good Place makes me chuckle.
Oh, we are Scanner Drill. We are live. And Sai is a chuckle bear.
And I have a toothache. Huh?
Chuckle bear and toothache.
Uh-huh. That should have been my name. Toothache.
This is the Writer's Paradise episode, but I don't really have anything writing-wise to talk about.
But, oh, you don't want to talk about our first topic?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, fine. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're just going to... Do I even have the show notes up? Yeah, I do.
I think Willa's going to talk about writing with her throat. Guttural writing.
Throat singing. Ah, my throat
is that singing. Like Tibetan throat singing?
Yeah, but it's guttural writing. You have to dictate it.
Tibetan throat writing.
Well, we could.
Verbal writing, huh?
There is something we could talk about as far as writing.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to have the job of doing the subtitles for Pornhub since they've been sued?
Not me.
I don't know. That could be a very distracting job, I would imagine.
Yeah.
How many ways can you write the word, the pseudo word,
hot, sexy, do it.
I really hope the judge throws that case out.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Not everything has to be closed captioning. That's not like a requirement by law, is it? That everything has to be closed captioning.
Well, websites, you know how Domino's lost that? It's like, dude. Oh,
there was something like that. Dude, there was,
websites have to be accessible. I don't think content needs to be.
The judges need to throw these things out, though. Like, look, if a blind person can't use a website, it's because it's visual. Not all websites have to be so you hear everything. I mean, pick up the damn phone and call Domino's.
It's just not practical. Every website can be accessible.
Lola had an interesting query.
What did
In our chat. Oh. And she asked about, the Pornhub for the blind. So yeah. I Googled that.
That would be hilarious.
And I found, I didn't click the link, so feel free to Google that yourself and click on that link.
No.
But I found a Pornhub blog post that says, and for our site... challenged I'm paraphrasing for our site challenged admirers we have selected several of our most popular videos and added descriptions.
That is hilarious. I want to watch that.
I want to actually I'm thinking that would make a really crazy podcast, right? If you like just had like
show?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Just like a audio descriptions of pornographic clips.
That would be hilarious.
But you'd have to get the right voice, you know. And in my mind, I'm thinking like the English cricket announcer, you know. Oh, he's going up. He's moving in. Here he comes.
He's about to mount.
Or you can do like Steve Irwin, even.
Crikey! Look at the size of that.
What's that coming out of the hole?
Oh, and you could have like a. Football announcer for Mexico.
Or when they score.
When they score. They're like,
oh!
4-1.
Or the, what's the excited Aussie or the crazy Aussie? I don't know if you've ever seen any of his videos.
Oi.
He takes things like, the BBC show, what is it? The planet or planet Earth.
Is that the guy who did the honey badger? I love that.
No, that's another one. But yeah, he's got that Morgan Freeman
badger.
Voice.
Honey badger don't care.
Yeah. There's a guy that, I think actually that's a different guy. Who's got like a Morgan Freeman voice.
Oh.
He did the one with the rainbow shrimp. That was pretty funny.
And they were having sex?
No. The rainbow shrimp is the one with the little claw that can go, like, he can fire his claw off at like Mach 3 or Mach 5 or something.
Oh my God, that's insane. I never heard of that.
Yeah. And it makes such it's such a force in the water that it creates a cavitation bubble that can like actually shatter glass. Like, you can't put them in a regular aquarium.
That's what happened to my teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a Ryder Swan for us.
Okay.
So Missouri is trying to pass a law where the state can censor the books in the library.
And no. You know what? I'm all for communities censoring anything that they want to censor, so long as you can find a way out of the community.
I'm like they'll help you relocate
when they institute something like that, because, you know, it seems like we've got these people that want to live in bubbles.
Yeah.
You know, where they have their own little perfect, you know, Ward and June Cleaver world, and, you know, Eddie Haskell is the worst thing they have to deal with.
Those are the people who want to censor books.
Exactly.
They want to live in a bubble.
And people like that, if they want to censor books, I'm fine with it. You know, give them their own library that they're going to fund. They fund them their own library where they can only have the books in it that they want to have in it.
It's like,
and then they just go to that library, not the regular one.
It's like anything else. If you don't like it, don't check it out.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if y'all remember, but back in the day of VCRs, there was this company that would take popular movies and edit out the bad part. Sure. And they would sell the videos that way. That was a real thing. Yeah. I think they got
value added. Yeah, they could, because they were paying for the original content.
They were changing the content that was original.
Yeah, they were trying to claim that it was, you know, fair use. And yeah, I remember that case, and I think it was actually brought up in a video that I'd watched this week about fair use and how that's a very, very, very tricky topic. There's a couple of YouTubers right now that do reaction videos, and they're looking at court. So the original action against them was they were asking for, I think, $6,000. And they were like, they'd already paid them like, you know, $2,000-$3,000 already. And they were like, you know, we're not going to pay you any more money. There's a... I'm going to call them trolls, but they actually have kind of a legitimate business, even though they're trolls. Mm-hmm. They find viral videos. They contact the owners of the viral video, and then they represent the rights.
That's so disgusting. And they don't really have anything to do with the rights, do they?
So the owners of the viral video pay them a fee to make sure that that video remains their property and somebody else can't use it without paying them a licensing fee. So it gives people a way to take, you know, if you're like CNN and you want to show a viral video, you pay this guy $50 and, you know, the original owner gets like $30 of that, and the company gets $20, and then CNN can then put the video up. But
they're like ambulance chasers,
but if you don't, then they litigate and they may get even more. So they're on the hook for $6,000 right now, but the YouTube lawyer, the lawyer on YouTube, not the lawyer for YouTube, that deals with a lot of copyright issues, he said that they could be on the hook for as much as $600,000.
That's ridiculous. It's not worth that.
With lawyer's fees on top of that, so this into the millions.
So disgusting. It's not worth it. This is the way I feel about copyright, and this is me as a writer. I don't care if somebody wants to download my book for free. I don't really care. I got the audio version on my website for free, and I got all my short stories on my website for free. That's not going to kill anybody in the, you know, it's not going to hurt anything in the grand scheme. Now, what would upset me is if someone took my book, put their name on it, and tried to sell it as their own. That would piss me off, and that's when I would try to get a lawyer. But if little Johnny Rocket is like, I want to pay $2.99, I'm just going to download it, I don't give a shit about Johnny Rocket. He can just go doing his stuff. I don't care.
I understand that angle, but there's far more to copyright than that. So how would you feel about somebody taking your work, not presenting it as their own, but taking your work and presenting it to someone else for a fee?
You mean they sold my work?
Oh, I guess
not as their own.
Well, that's what booksellers do.
Well, here's something like that. Have you heard of the band? It was like an industrial band from the 90s, Gravity Kills. Mm-mm. Okay, so it's like an industrial band, like Nine Inch Nails type. Mm-hmm. So I was looking around, and because a friend of mine had said that I think he's got Spotify or Apple Music. It's on both of those also. That there was a new song that came out. And I was like, so I looked on Amazon and I was like, oh, there it is. And I listened to it. And I'm like, oh, this sounds cool. So I mentioned that on Twitter, right? And the lead singer of the band DM'd me and said, that's actually not our song. I'm like, what? I go, but it's under, he goes, yeah, we've been dealing with this for months now. Someone created that song, used our name. So then and then put it up, and then all the sites put it under our name, and now people are buying that song.
Thinking it's their song.
Streaming that song and getting the under their name and getting the money.
That's messed up.
So they basically stole their band name is what they did.
Yeah,
they're impersonating them. It's almost like identity theft.
So it's messed up. I mean, that's a form of copyright right there. They own that name and this other...
Well, that's more trademark than copyright.
But still,
it's different, completely different clause.
But it's just still along the same type of thing. You're,
if it's grand scale like that, I don't like it. I mean, like I said, if one guy is like, I'm going to download it for free, or I'm going to read a passage from Lola's great book in my podcast, as long as they credit me, I don't give a shit.
That to me is kind of fair use.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me that falls, and now in mm-hmm. actual fair use, that may not check all the checkboxes.
If they take Lola's book mm-hmm. and they go to their website mm-hmm. and they change it to like something that sounds like her website, and then they put her picture on it and then her name mm-hmm. and then here's the book and start selling it from that website.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. If they're making money, I don't like that. I don't want to punish the user, the little guy, like the person who buys it. You know, I don't want to punish that person. I want to go after the dealers, not the consumers.
What if MS3TK? Did I do that? Did I say that right?
MS3TK.
Mystery Science Theater.
MST3K.
Yeah, isn't that what I? Either way. I always screw up the
acronym. MST3K.
Yeah. So what if they took your book? Yeah. Like, say your book was made into a movie, right? Mm-hmm. And you own the rights to the movie. You own the rights to the book. Mm-hmm. And they went and took your movie and presented it in their style, right? With the commentary mixed in, but never paid you to do that.
Oh, heck no.
First of all, I'd be pissed because all the movies they show are like B movies. And I'd be like, are you saying my movie is a B movie? And also, I'd be like, okay, when I was a kid, I wanted to be the first female creature on MST3K. And that didn't happen. And now they have some other lady on there. I'm pissed about that too. If they let me be on their show, then they can play my movie. Can y'all make that happen?
See, I would be angry about it because I never liked that show.
I did. I liked it. I mean, I haven't watched.
But you get the general sentiment. If you took something that was clearly yours, mm-hmm. if somebody took something that was clearly yours and then just kind of wrapped something around it that mm-hmm. wasn't really transformative, now we're getting into the legal definition.
Like on YouTube when people would put a TV around it, around the movie.
Specifically the case that I'm kind of targeting is these people who do reaction videos. Yeah. So it would be like playing an entire movie and then and showing that as an inset to you reacting to the movie. You're kind of really stepping on the copyright laws there. You really are.
Yeah, but under copyright, you shouldn't do that. not play the whole movie anyways.
Well, even, I mean, even a fair portion, because to me, your reaction to it doesn't transform the work. You've put no work into that actual original to change it. You're just reacting to it.
Mm-hmm. So,
so I think reaction videos might actually be a dead thing pretty soon because of this case. And these are not small time YouTubers. Mm-hmm. No one's really said whether or not they're monetized or not. But if they're monetized, mm-hmm. They're probably pulling about $1 million a year.
Wait, reaction videos are going away? Oh, thank you.
Reaction videos and unboxing videos, those can all die in a fire.
I used to do unboxing videos like 8 years ago, but I was like, I'm so tired of it. I mean, it's just too much trouble.
I like it when I get stuff, but when other people get stuff, I'm less excited, you know?
Yeah, and they always act so precious about it. Ooh, the new iPhone, blah, blah, got here. Let's take care. It's Ginger, you know, let's be very careful with it. We don't want to hurt it. It's freaking, just shut up. It's just an iPhone. Get over yourself.
Get that puppy out in your pocket.
So something else I've noticed on Twitter this week, I've noticed it before, but there was a big old thing about these people were doing this. And basically what I'm talking about is the agents for writers. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were going on and on about what they hate when writers try to get their work to them to look at. They're like, don't ever do this. Don't do this. Oh my God. I had a writer do this and think I'm actually going to read their stuff. And then another one was like, if you ever put like a bunch of agents on the same email with your request to read it, of course you're going to get
it. I wouldn't do that.
But still, I'm like, isn't your job to read writers' work and they're trying to get it to you?
I wish people would stop complaining.
I'm like, you're going to complain about that? I get
that it gets on their nerves.
You know,
I get that it gets on their nerves, but that's part of their job, huh?
That is their job. That's all they're there for. They're
a lot of ways,
middle person.
In a lot of ways, they're kneecapping themselves because what they're basically saying is unless you're in the right circle or you have the right contacts
right.
or you do everything by my book, which perfectly may be different than everybody else's book, yeah, then I'm not going to look at your stuff. And there's a fair chance that there may be a very good work out there that they're taking a pass on for a very stupid reason.
Like there was one dude, he was like, if you don't catch me on the first page, it doesn't matter if you give me 5 pages. I'm not going to read them. I'm like, dude, who don't judge a book by its cover? How are you going to judge it by the first page, you little douchebag?
Yeah, I can remember, and this is several millennia ago, back when I was still a pup, I remember someone telling me, and they were in a hiring position. I remember them telling me, if you come to a job interview and you're wearing pleated slacks, pleated pants, and you have more than 2 pleats,
that's ridiculous.
You're just not getting the job. And I'm
like, that's crazy.
You know, my personal taste is I'll interview in jeans because that's how I prefer to dress.
It's about the job. Yeah.
Exactly. And if you're going to judge me on my clothing or my taste in clothing, then you've completely, I mean, unless you're hiring someone for a fashion forward position, that really has no bearing on what I do. And it probably has no bearing.
Or if you're hiring someone to work in a retail store, I mean, like, you know, like go to Sephora and they wear a lot of makeup, you know, they wear makeup because that's the whole thing. That's the job. And I could understand if someone came to the interview with no makeup, the hiring manager would be like, you know what you're here, right?
Well, again, depends on the position, though. If they're interviewing for a sales position over, you know, a purchasing position or
logistics. But going back to the book here, for like this particular guy who wants it on the first page, he basically wants a Michael Bay action first page and then go on from there. It's like, how many great books is this idiot missing out on? Because
well, he's got his
that's his problem.
He's got That's his crazy. Niche though, because clearly what he wants to represent is that Michael Bay first page kind of guy.
That's just crazy.
But that's, you know, and he's probably missing out on some really epic novels, you know, epic stories. But he's getting what he wants.
My first thought was, how many Neal Stephensons have you missed out on, buddy?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the long slow burns. Yeah. Yeah. The ones that just
Back when I used to submit and look for agents and stuff, I haven't done that in a long time since I just self-published. But back when I used to do that, like when I would submit short stories, you go to the submissions page and they would always have a long page of everything they want and don't want. And you have to troll through that whole damn thing. They don't want this kind of sci-fi. They want this kind of sci-fi. They don't want this. They don't want that. They don't want this. They don't want that. And it's like, if somebody is that nitpicky, they're gonna find something wrong with me. So it just makes me not want to submit, because I'm like, they're too needy.
Yeah, I just feel that the whole agency thing is, I want the self-publishing to happen, because the agency thing is the worst part of it. These people, they can make and break you based on their subjective outlook.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not like they don't take a huge cut of what of
your income. Yeah, they do.
Well, 10%, I think.
Some of them take up to 30.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. That's too much.
But yeah, 10% but some of them take up to 30, and it's just like, holy.
Now, there are some publishing houses that take submissions from authors. This may have changed, but I remember at one time Tor submitted received unagented works. Hmm. I don't know if they still do. But there's, I'm not going to disparage Tor, but there is a other side to that. A lot of these publishing houses, they make the author do a lot of the marketing, most of the marketing.
A lot of the big ones are doing that now too, though.
That's one of the reasons why I decided to self-publish. I'm like, go off through all this and I still have to do the heavy lifting. No. So yeah. So even, I mean, they may accept your work, but you've got to get out there and hustle, or else it'll go out of print.
Well, and you know, as a writer, if you're out there hustling to get that first book out, to get it sold and get it popular, you're not writing. You're not doing your second book. You're not doing your third book. You're not editing your second book. You're not doing any of those things.
You're everything.
You're all on that first book, and it's all in. And unless that first book is, you know, takes off, you're kind of screwed. And if it does take off,
right now.
And if it does take off, you're still screwed, because you get this huge surge of popularity and you've got no other back catalog. You got nothing else to go with.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm also used to, you know, I go to a lot of conventions, and I have been for a long time, and I see the writers there who hustle, and a lot of them are self-published, and you know, their weekends are filled up with going to cons and spending $1,000 for a table. But I think that's kind of what it's like now. I think that's what you got to be prepared to do. And I was telling Linda, I think we should gather up our money. I need to learn to print books, because it's better to have, you know, physical books. We should pull our money and start doing convention tables. Because between the four of however many we want to be, we might could afford $1,000 table at DragonCon.
When you say print books, you don't mean actually printing the books. You mean formatting them for print.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never, there's a special formatting. Yeah. Well, I think really it's the cover that needs to be formatted. There's just a process, and I've never learned to do it. And I think it's probably easier now, because from what I understand, with Amazon, they used to have the print part separate, but I think the print part folded into the whole Kindle thing. So I just need to go and figure out how to do it. Because I think at a convention, if you have a table, you're better off selling actual books instead of just giving them your business card. Because I know me from experience of 16 years of going to Dragon Con, that if I get a business card, I have every intention of going to their website and looking what they have, but I always find it a year later in the bottom of a bag.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's better if you get a table as a vendor, go ahead and have actual books to sell.
Yeah. I
want to do that.
Yeah. Make the sale in the now rather than in the future, because the future is untold and you don't know what's going to happen.
And I know me.
Yeah.
I know. I have every intention. I'm like, oh, you know, I'll see like a jewelry kiosk that I like. And instead of spending whatever money now, I'll get a business card and be like, oh, I remember, I really like those earrings. I'm going to go get them. A year later, I find the business card in the bottom of a bag. And but if I buy the thing there, then I have it. So I just know that's how most people work. We need to actually have items to sell. And also another thing I want to do, if I ever get a little bit of influx of money, I'd like to go to Vistaprint or someplace like that and make a lot of promotional items for us, because they can do really cool stuff. And I can vouch for Vistaprint. I've used them a lot. They're really nice. Just like you did with the bottle opener, Cy. I want to do more stuff like that.
Oh, those bottle openers are, I still love my bottle opener. That's one of the better bottle openers I own.
Yeah. So I want to do stuff like that. That just costs money.
For the cost of a bottle opener, it was probably a little on the higher side, but overall with the quality of what came out, I'm perfectly happy paying that amount for one bottle opener.
Well, but I meant like as a promotional item.
That was the other thing is I only bought like, I think I got a lot of five of them. I only got five. And that's what contributed mostly to the cost. If I wanted to buy 20 of them, would have been a lot cheaper.
You know, what amazes me is the people who complain about like self-publishing.
Yeah, and see for promotional items.
When they complain about self-publishing and it's like $4.99 a book or something like that. But then they go down the street and they buy a latte at Starbucks for $4.99.
I know. So, mine's $2.99. My book is $2.99.
I'm like, but you're getting more out of this, and they put more into this to create this. $4.99 is not that much, dude.
It's not. It really isn't. And you're supporting, you know, the underdog.
It'll last longer than the coffee.
Exactly. You won't remember the coffee tomorrow.
The coffee will be done and out of your system in an hour. So,
I did the Audible thing.
Oh, good. Yeah, I know. I need to go and see what the picks are for the free thing this month.
This was the special that they sent me was $99.
Okay.
Up front, and you get 12 credits up front.
That's pretty good. And then do you still get the monthly credits?
No. It's your entire yearly credit up front.
Well, yeah, you're saving money because I pay $14.99 a month.
Yeah, but then at the end of the year, at the end of that year, if you don't cancel, it'd be $149.
Oh.
Because it's $150 normally. Oh. So I got $50 off.
Okay, but you have to keep using it. Otherwise, they'll charge you the whole.
No, you can cancel at any time. So you cancel before the end of the year and you don't pay the $149. But I got 12 credits.
It's an introductory price.
Right. Like, so it's a one-year introductory price and then 12 credits up front.
That's pretty good.
So that's instead of waiting.
I got to say, I don't necessarily know how Audible's credits work.
One credit equals one book, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm on eMusic and I've been using that for years.
I used to use that 20 years ago.
No, not 20.
Yes, Well, okay, maybe 18, because when they first started, they had a They Might Be Giants club. And if you
I've probably been in it close to as long.
It was like 2002 or something. And if you joined, you got a free sweatshirt with They Might Be Giants on it. I've still got the sweatshirt. It has a square and it's like TMBG on it. I've still got it.
Awesome. So,
yeah, I joined the They Might Be Giants club, but I only lasted like a year because I couldn't afford it. This was back when I was probably working at Walmart.
They've got different tiers now, so like I get a credit every other month, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can straight up just buy credits for X number of dollars. Yeah. And the thing I like about the credits is most of the books that I want to listen to, and granted, these are all audiobooks, most of the books I want to listen to are one credit. But there's a few that are two credits that I'd really like to listen to. Audible does that.
There are a few, if they have really big audiobooks, it costs 2 credits.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily that they're really big. Like, some of them are, like, really long, like, you know, 12, 15, 16 hours of audio. Those,
that's how most Audibles are.
Yeah.
Well, I also noticed that Audible, if you're the member, a lot of things are, like, $14.95 or less. Whereas a lot of them are, like, $22 to $50 without being a member.
Yeah, well, the outright pricing on it's a little lower, too. So, I mean, if you want to just go outright buy the thing, it's, you know, reasonable as well.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a fan of that. I don't know how much the authors make on it, though. I kind of wonder about that.
I don't know either.
I think they pay them a flat fee for every one. I don't know.
Well, Linda, you said she gets good money from Audible, so.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her about that sometime. I don't know. I recorded my book. I have the audio book, but I just don't think the quality is good enough to sell. Because, you know, I mean, there are times when I'm not savvy enough to really get all the ambient noise out. I'm just not. And so you'll hear a lot of ambient noise. So I just don't think the quality is good enough. That's why I offer it for free on my website, lowlaracy.com.
Go there. Download.
Yeah.
Stick it in your ear.
I also put it on my archive.org. So.
Well, I just got my Bluetooth little Amazon jobber speaker for my car so that I can now go back to listening to audiobooks on my commute.
Neat.
For a couple of years now, I've not been able to listen to audiobooks because
I listen to them through my phone in the car.
Well, my auxiliary jack in my car is vacaca.
No, I listen to them through my phone. I have a little spot in the thing and I just play it through the phone.
Okay, you just listen to it through the phone speakers?
The phone speakers, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As long as it's not too noisy outside. If it's too noisy outside, you can't hear it.
I mean, I can hear it perfectly. It's just like, because I put it in the little cutout dash under the radio, okay. And then there's like a nice little echo, like not an echo, but it amplifies it a little bit. No. Yeah, so then it amplifies it and you can hear it even better. So
okay,
well, I picked up my little, you know, $10-$12,
that's cool,
whatever, so I can do that now, and I'm very happy with the quality and loudness that comes out of the thing. So I'll be catching back up on my audiobooks because I think I've got about 9 to 12 of them banked right now. I'm really behind in my audiobooks.
I'm in the middle of Neal Stephenson's Fall or Dodge in Hell, which is his newest one, and it's like it's pretty good. I think it's like 39 to 40 hours or something.
Yeah, I've got
that's how Stephen King's are. It's like,
but I looked at it. I was like, oh, I've got like 10 more hours. So I'd listen to it on the way to work and then on the way home. So,
but, I mean, if you think of it, if you think about, oh, I've got so much content for the price, it's really worth it.
Yeah.
I think about that because, like, when I go to buy a book, if it's only like 6 hours long and it would only cost like $8, I'm not going to spend a credit on an $8 book.
Right.
I'm basically losing $5-$6. So if it's something I really want, I'll pay the $8.
Yeah.
And then I'll spend the credit on something like a Stephen King book that's like 30 hours.
Well, that's how I listen to the Watchtower series.
Okay.
I didn't pay for any of those. I got them at my public library.
I need to start doing that.
I ripped them to MP3 and I listened to those partly on the way driving out to San Diego and then my first couple of months driving back and forth to work.
Cool.
It was actually, that's actually a really long series. And it's I don't know, and we've got news for later we can probably break now. What was the thing? Was it HBO turned it down?
Oh, they passed on the Dark Tower series. Well, after that movie,
Which movie?
Even call that a movie. The Dark Tower had a movie with Idris Elba.
Oh, you know what? I never saw it.
It was awful, and it was only an hour and a half.
And I'm glad I didn't see it now. So there you go. It's a great story, though. I mean, it's a really good story.
You know what their big problem was?
What?
The lead character, Roland.
Yeah.
I could see that being Matthew McConaughey, not the other way around.
It could work for, I mean, it could work for Matthew McConaughey. He's, whoever it is, they need to be more, I don't know, Texas than North Carolina.
or Texas than UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Idris Elba. I think Idris Elba was fine. It was the story. I mean, they cut it down so much and it was very ambiguous and it was just.
Well, that's one of those things. It's like there's a lot of things that happen in Watchtower that I don't think are going to translate well to the screen. Uh-huh. But if you have a good screenwriter, they can make it work. You know, maybe the screenwriter for that just wasn't.
Just don't hire Damon Lindelof.
Just cut too many things.
I can't believe he walked away from Watchmen. I know you didn't like it, Jason. I liked it okay.
He walked away because no one in the Watchmen fanverse liked him now. They were all pissed at him. And he knew it. He knew it. He knew he made a mistake. He knew his whole thing was just crap. Because and he basically told the Watchmen fanverse, you guys suck. I'll do what I want to do. And he paid for it now. He knew he had no way of going forward.
There's several people that like the show.
There are, but there are way more that don't like it as far as actual Watchmen fans.
Yeah, I think the people who liked it maybe had never read the comic.
Exactly. Most of the people that liked it never ever read the comic or the graphic novel or even seen them. Like my friend's boss liked it, but he didn't know there was a graphic novel or a movie for it. Mm-hmm. So he liked, and I'm like, that's what? Exactly. And if those are the only people that like it, it's not worth having around to ruin what it's based off of. And because it's basically just crap fan fiction.
So then it should be branded as what? I mean,
it's already branded as non-canon. It's just, it's not, it has nothing to do with Watchmen really. So.
Well, and it was supposed to be 30 years in the future from the Watchmen comics. So they had a license to do whatever they wanted to because it was so far removed from the original source material. But I mean, they did make, Dr. Manhattan, he was a black guy. So,
how does that work?
I don't know.
He's not.
He was blue and now he's black. Okay, come on, don't get over it, man. Blue and black are some great colors.
It was a strange choice.
Like the stupid squids falling from the sky for no reason.
Yeah. Well, no, not for no reason. I mean, the very last episode of the actual Watchmen comic.
There's no point to it. The whole thing's just a bastardization. I'm glad it's gone. I hope Damon Lindelof never writes a thing again.
Yeah, maybe he won't. He'll be cast out to Mars. We can only hope.
Canceled.
He's canceled, definitely. Well, he was canceled for me after Lost. I was like, I hate you.
And there's still word that they're kicking around rebooting Lost. Oh, jeez.
It should remain Lost.
How do you reboot that? Like, we already seriously, know the how ending. Do you
reboot it from the very just retell the entire story.
Oh, let's you know what? Let's redo make up Sixth other Sense. Stuff. Let's redo Sixth Sense, right? Let's just redo that one because
that's just one movie. I'd rather that than a whole series, huh?
Oh, well, the whole hinge of Sixth Sense was the people who had seen the movie didn't give it away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they never gave it away. That was what made that movie kind of great.
It was cool. It was
classic. Yeah, but you can't go back and reboot that and have that same greatness because. That train's already left the station. Everybody knows.
No, but what they're talking about with Lost is rebooting it, and it's like none of what came before. It's you, they land on an island and then they get to make up whatever they want from there on.
Well, as long as it's different, I could.
Oh, God. I would watch it.
At this point in my TV viewing future, mm-hmm. I see Manifest quite possibly going that route.
Manifest is just kind of treading water. I like.
Wasn't Manifest canceled?
No, it just started back in second season.
I know. Wasn't it canceled for the third or something like that?
I haven't heard anything.
As far as I know, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's my biggest concern is we're going to go through 2, 3, 4 seasons of this and find out, oh, they were already dead anyway.
That would be pissed off.
They've already kind of hinted at that a couple of times, and I'm like, no, don't go there.
God, they don't do that. I would be seriously pissed if they just did that because so it's already stupid. Been done.
It's not just it's been done. It's such a cop out.
It was a dumb idea when it was done with Lost.
Yeah, it just write a good story, man. Come on, you can write your way out of this. Mm-hmm. You can get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now with Manifest, they set it up to where in 5 years, which would be the exact time amount that they were gone,
like Lost.
Yeah, but in 5 years, they're all supposed to die. Like, these 5 years have been a gift.
Like Lost?
Well, in Lost, they were dead the entire time. But in
Maybe they are dead the entire time, and they just have 5 years of more thinking.
I hope not. That was
I kind of hope not, too, because I really think, you know, if they've got good writers, you know, on the show, they can find a much better, more satisfying conclusion to that whole scenario. They need to be inventive.
If they're going to have a big, like, sci-fi spectacle show like this, it needs to be inventive. I need to go, wow. Like, I'm still watching Emergence, although I'm, like, 2 episodes behind, but it's just gotten boring.
Oh, now that's funny.
What?
That's funny, because it started out kind of boring for me, and I'm a little more interested in it now. I don't know why. I don't know why.
It's so tropey. Now we found out that pretty much everybody are robots. It's like, oh, he's a robot. Oh, she's a robot. Oh, okay.
Wouldn't you like to be a robot too?
I know. It's like it becomes less special. Oh, he's an AI. Oh, she's an AI. Everybody's AIs. It's just not as interesting anymore. I'm like, basically, it's not aliens, and so I'm not interested anymore. When I thought it was aliens, I was more interested.
Oh.
But I'm still watching it. I'm just behind.
Well, they got rid of all the things that I didn't like, which was basically the original creators, and I'm using
the guy from Lost.
Yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah, they poofed away all those people that I kind of found annoying to the story, and mm-hmm. now it's kind of separated. Actually, it's now separated into 2 different stories,
okay.
Which I think is I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm eagerly awaiting the next.
Bigger.
Huh?
It needs to get bigger. I mean, we need to let go of the conspiracy. Okay, so Terry O'Quinn's character is dead. The other guy who created the AI is dead. We need to let that go. Every episode was like, oh, they're going to get us. They're going to capture her. Oh, yeah. We're hiding. They need to let that go, and it needs to become a little bigger, like, maybe there is an army of AI and they're wanting to take over the world or something. It just, there need to be higher stakes than just, oh, they're going to get the little girl. Because we spent the whole season so far. Oh, they're going to get the little girl. Oh, they got the little girl.
How are we going to get the girl back? Let's get the girl back. Yeah.
They need to move on from that. So hopefully they do.
And then it was quiet.
This is the writer's
I don't know. We're all entertainment at this point. So
I know. I'm
it's
just
morphing.
It's all just one show tonight. We can't do. We can't be bothered to do 3 separate shows. We're just going to do them all one show.
No, we'll get to the second show.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
But yeah. So.
I don't know. That's that. I think we'll wind this show down.
Just take a long break.
We're going to wind this show down to get to the second show.
Okay. Where we talk about TV.
Yes.
Yeah, like what we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes. Yeah.
We'll just replay this episode while we go take a break.
There we go. All right, guys. We'll see you in a few with show two.
In several.
Yeah, I got
more than one.